Good morning and welcome to worship on this fine Sunday morning. We have just a couple of announcements as we begin. The most important that everybody wants to know is, when are we going to reopen and worship again together? Well, most of you should have received an email, and if you didn't, if you don't have email, you will have hopefully received a letter in the mail. The reopening committee is going to shoot, we're aiming for June 7th. There are quite a few details to see to before we can reopen, but Sunday, June 7th is the date that we are aiming for. We will keep you informed along the way, and if you have any questions, please call the church office or call me. Be glad to answer your questions, but that June 7th is what we are aiming for. The call newsletter is coming up, and so if you have an article that needs to be in the newsletter, it needs to be into the church office to Kathy by Monday. And now, let us begin our worship service with the prelude. Kathy? Though the way seems long and the road rough,
yet we will trust the one who leads us.
Though the direction is unknown and we don't know the outcome,
yet we will place our lives in Christ's loving care.
Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls our names to come and follow him.
His voice, speaking our names, draws us to him.
We will follow without fear, for the Shepherd cares for us.
Our hearts rejoice, and we can place our trust in the Good Shepherd.
Come, let us enter the gate with thanksgiving.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
There is no shadow of turning with thee.
Let us pray. O God, we ask you for your gifts of comfort and of patience. We so want this terrible disease to be over with and for our lives to return to what we say is normal. We know you are with us, and that you wrap your arms around each and every one of us to comfort us. And we ask that you give us patience as we wait until we can come together to celebrate you as we have before in this house. You are with us, Lord, we know that, as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As our special music today, we have Michelle Elser playing the violin. Thank you, Michelle.
No problem. I'm going to be playing You Are My All in All.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And now for our children's time. Last week, we celebrated and gave thanks for our second graders. This week, we are giving thanks for some older children. Today, we are celebrating our high school graduates. For more generations than we can remember, it has been the practice of the church to mark significant milestones and turning points in the lives of God's children. We celebrate the birth of babies. We rejoice as couples marry. We bless our children as they finish second grade and honor their new reading skills. And today we are delighted to honor and name a significant turning point for our young people, graduation from high school. This year, we have three delightful young men to honor. Ty Walker. Come on, Ty, up to the computer with your mother and your father. Ty is the son of our bookkeeper, Lisa Walker, and her husband, Richie. Ty is a graduate of Natrona County High School and plans to attend Casper College to study agricultural science. Ty works on his family ranch, shows cattle, and loves to rope cattle. Yes, Lisa, we said it. Ethan Spiker. Ethan has served as our choir accompanist for the last 2 years. Thank you, Ethan. Yay, Ethan. In the fall, he plans to attend the University of Wyoming and major in engineering. At Kelly Walsh High School, Ethan was involved in debate, student council. He was junior class president and on the varsity tennis team. In his free time, Ethan loves to be outdoors, skiing, or rock climbing. And last, we have Nathan Hawley. Nathan, stand up with your mom and dad. Move right up in front of the computer. I can see you. Come on, get up. Nathan is the son of Jenny and Scott Hawley, the brother of Zach, and the grandson of Kathy and Larry Winders. At Natrona County High School, Nathan played saxophone in the marching band and was on the soccer team. As we saw in the newspaper, Nathan was the first to sign with Casper College Soccer for their inaugural season. He has decided to take summer courses at the college to ease up his class load during soccer season. At the college, he will pursue general studies with the goal of entering the electrician apprentice program with the IBEW when he completes his studies. He is an Eagle Scout and an avid outdoorsman. Nathan likes rock climbing, kayaking, disc golf. He's also a soccer referee and was named the 2018 Wyoming Young Soccer Referee of the Year. Working on cars is a favorite pastime. Currently, Nathan works at the 5150 Rock Gym. Ty, Ethan, and Nathan, you have all reached this turning point with the help of your family, your friends, your teachers, and hopefully your church family. We are proud of you as we have seen you grow into fine young men, the ones that you are today. We hope that as you move into this next stage of life as young adults, you will remember and hold on to the values you have been taught. The Bible tells us, for followers of Jesus, those values can be boiled down to this: be true to yourself, be a person of integrity. Even though we are not able to present you with your new Bibles here, gathered in worship in our sanctuary, you will be receiving your new Bibles this week. We are thankful you are a part of our church family. And so now, all of us around our tables and here in this sanctuary, we all join our hearts as one in prayer as we now give thanks to God for each one of you. So let us pray. Loving God, we are so grateful that you have entrusted us with the care of nurturing, raising, and loving your children. We are most thankful for the gift of these high school graduates. Surround them with your love, your mercy, and your guidance as they move forward into new challenges and new days ahead. Bless Ty, Ethan, and Nathan as they continue to grow in fullness and stature, just as Jesus did. Amen. Amen. Okay, y'all can move away from the computer now and sit down. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. And now we come to our time of joys and concerns. We have some other graduates to celebrate, too. We have some college graduates this year as well. Abel Stewart is graduating from the University of Wyoming, which with a Bachelor's of Business. And Kylie Stewart is graduating from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut with her Master of Science degree in Dental Hygiene Education and Public Health. And Keith Rouse is graduating from University of Wyoming and Casper College with a Bachelor of Arts in Humanities, I do believe. His next goal is to start working on a Master's in History or Religious Studies. And so we are proud of these young people. They're young. They are very young. To me, anyway. We're very proud of all of you as you move on to the next phase of your education and work. In our concerns today, Mike Ward finished his third round of chemotherapy this week, and he is doing well. Cal and Monica, he's feeling pretty good, and they are making arrangements to move Monica back home. Paul Smith has asked us to pray for patience for him. Pam Rouse had knee surgery today, and when I talked to Keith this afternoon, they were going to get her up later this afternoon on Thursday, so by Sunday, by today, she should be doing really well. It's a little confusing, trying to keep the days straight. And this week, Annette, our preschool director, had surgery in Denver, and she should be home by Sunday. Are there any other joys or concerns to share today, this morning? Let's join together in prayer. Merciful and ever-present God, you have asked us to become partners in your care for your people and your world. And so we lift to you our prayers for this day, these joys and these concerns which we have spoken and those we have left unspoken, trusting in your great love. And gracious God, we pray for ourselves. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to everlasting life. Amen.
Okay, I've been doing this now for probably 6 weeks, somewhere around 7 weeks. So it's time we get the record straight. What the world needs today
is a Coke.
Is a big old slab of pie.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a big slice of pie, their favorite kind, to make them feel that everything is going to be okay, and to remind them of what life was like before COVID-19. You see, for some reason, pie always brings me comfort. It reminds me of family, of good times, the sweetness that we enjoy. These things are available at our communion table as well. While the bread may not be as sweet as pie, and the little cup of juice not as good as a cold glass of milk, it still nourishes our soul and brings joy to our heart. Let us sing our communion hymn number 425, Let Us Break Bread Together. Of institution.
Pardon me. And on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant which is for you. As often as you drink it, do so in memory of me."
Let us pray. Oh, gracious shepherd, we're thankful to be part of your flock. We know that you care and understand each and every one of us, that through the bread and the cup, we are filled with your Spirit. And through this, it allows us to do your work. We ask that you be with us all the time and guide us down the path of righteousness. In these things we ask. Amen. It is easy to say that now that things are beginning to open back up and our lives are somewhat beginning to return to normal, that everything's okay. But the fact of the matter is that's not true. There is still unemployment. People have yet to return back to their jobs. People are lining up more and more at the food banks needing food. As good shepherds of our congregation, we have always come forward and made sure that we gave our gifts so that God's work and love could be shared with all. Right now, your tithes and offerings are more valuable than ever. Please, give what you can. And we will bless these gifts. Our diaconate will now receive our offering. Thank you. Let us pray. O gracious and loving God, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings to the world so that we can help feed the hungry, nourish the souls of those that are lonely and depressed, and help spread your word to all mankind. In these things we ask, amen.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. And our second lesson comes from the 10th chapter of John, verses 1 through 10. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he is brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So the first question is this: do you know who Jesus is talking to? That's not quite clear yet. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? Little lamb, I'll tell thee. Little lamb, I'll tell thee. He is called by thy name, for he calls himself a lamb. He is meek and he is mild, and he became a little child. I a child and thou a lamb. We are called by his name. Little lamb, God bless thee. Little lamb, God bless thee. William Blake, 1789. During the Easter season, we have been jumping around the lectionary, and today's no different. Today, we are jumping back a couple of weeks to the texts from the fourth Sunday of Easter because they're really nice and they are for us comfort food. Each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel lesson comes from John 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, we didn't just hear that in the gospel lesson, because the lectionary breaks up this chapter, the Good Shepherd chapter, over its three-year cycle of readings. Next year is when we actually hear, "I am the Good Shepherd." This year, which is year A, in case you're wondering, it's the first 10 verses, which are, well, not altogether clear, nor are they easy to read as I stumbled through them. They're actually mostly figures of speech, and they're parable-like, kind of riddles. Now, first we need to remember, like we did last week, that we are breaking into the middle of a conversation clear. It's not clear who Jesus is talking to if we start right here in the 10th chapter. So we have to back up a little bit. In chapter 9, Jesus heals the man born blind. It's a story we are familiar with. Jesus and his disciples are out for a walk, as is their custom. The disciples see a man who was blind from birth, and they want to know whose sin caused the man's blindness. Was it his or his parents? Jesus says his blindness doesn't have anything to do with sin. So, here's the really good part. Jesus spits in the dirt, makes some mud, puts it on the blind man's eyes, sends him to go wash it off. The gospel writer says he went and washed, came back, able to see. And that starts an argument with the neighbors. Is that really him? No, it's not him. Yes, it is. No, it's not. It can't be. He was the beggar on the outside of the community. And then the man himself wades in with, "Yeah, it's me." They keep arguing, and then the neighbors take him, the man who had formerly been blind, the neighbors take him to the Pharisees, and that starts another argument, because you see, Jesus made that miracle mud on the Sabbath. Now the argument is about the Sabbath. You see, a man of God wouldn't have healed anyone on the Sabbath, because he wouldn't have done anything on the Sabbath. The Pharisees don't believe the man really was blind in the first place. So what do? They haul in his parents for questioning. "Yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. Yes, now he can see. We don't know how. We don't know who. We don't know why. He's a grown-up. Ask him." So the Pharisees call the man who had formerly been blind back in and try to get him to admit that Jesus is a sinner. But the man who had formerly been blind, that's his new name, you know, the man who had formerly been blind. Sounds familiar. He's about had enough, and so he gets a little cheeky with these guys. "I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not. I know I was blind, and now I'm not. I told you this already. Why do you want to keep going over it again and again and again? Maybe you want to become one of his disciples too." Well, yeah, that didn't go over so well. And so the Pharisees throw him out. Yeah. So then Jesus hears about it, about the man being thrown out by the Pharisees. And Jesus goes and finds him to speak with him. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Yes." And dang if those Pharisees haven't followed the man and are still close by, near enough, nervy enough to butt into the discussion between Jesus and the man who had formerly been blind. Jesus now turns his attention to the intruding Pharisees. And you know, it could be the intrusion into a private conversation isn't all that welcome. Now Jesus argues with the Pharisees about seeing and about blindness. And that's the argument that extends into chapter 10, into the Good Shepherd chapter. That's who Jesus is talking to. There are no parables here in the Gospel of John, but this is very close. Yet this argument serves a very different function. Unlike the parables of the other Gospels, this is not intended to teach Jesus' disciples. Here, Jesus is intentionally trying to confuse the Pharisees. He is messing with them with figures of speech, with veiled language, and with riddles. He speaks of thieves and bandits and climbing over walls of the sheepfold, and gatekeepers opening doors for shepherds, and sheep hearing voices, thieves who steal and kill and destroy. And later he will speak of wolves, hired hands running away, and other sheep and other flocks, and a good shepherd who lays his life down. And of course, Jesus speaks of love. By the end of the conversation, which ends in verse 21, by the way, the Pharisees have no earthly idea what Jesus has just said. They do not understand, and they're still arguing that Jesus got to have a demon. Jesus got to be out of his mind. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. No, I don't think so. Demons can't open blind eyes. Jesus has succeeded in confusing the Pharisees. Jesus has also confounded the man's neighbors. And their argument goes on. But for us, as disciples and followers of Jesus, for readers of the Gospel of John, if we leave the argument for a minute, for those of us who are within this fold and this flock, there is clearly good news to be found here. Consider the whole sheep image just for a minute. You know, preachers are pretty good about reminding us that sheep aren't very smart. And so since we are the sheep of his flock, then we're not too smart either. Part of that kind of thinking comes from one of Isaiah's servant songs rumbling around in the back of our heads, where the prophet speaks of a sheep before the shearers is dumb. We hear that word dumb, and even knowing what it does and doesn't mean, just the sound of that word itself does damage to our own understanding of ourselves, and we become like those Pharisees. And we can be awfully fond of remembering and holding on to another part of that same servant song of Isaiah that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And yes, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do turn and go our own way. But you know what? Sheep rarely do. Sheep rarely wander off by themselves because, you see, they like to stick together. They're not much on social distancing. If they do wander off alone, often it's because they're sick. If a sheep accidentally gets lost away from its flock or its fold, chances are it will become ill because, you see, a sheep won't eat by itself. Warren Gill of Middle Tennessee State University says, there's a saying among sheep ranchers, it's easier to feed 1,000 lambs than just one or two. They're healthier when they're together. They're safer when they're together. They're not aggressive, they don't attack. They form bonds with each other and can form bonds with humans. Their young are curious and like to explore and play, and they always find mom at nap time. They graze like they have all the time in the world. Their hearing can amplify and pinpoint sound, and they like to be near each other, within eyesight of each other. There's nothing dumb about any of that. Warren Gill also says that when there is talk about sheep being dumb, he says that is a statement that says more about someone, like a shepherd, expecting sheep to be something other than what they are, something other than what they were made to be, and he says it reflects the shepherd's lack of intelligence rather than the sheep's. Gentle, easygoing, loving stick-togetherness doesn't sound so dumb. It sounds like community. It sounds like the perfect metaphor for the people of God, for the community of faith. We are made to be in community. That's why this pandemic has been so hard for us. We weren't made for this. So it's been a challenge. We're not prone to wander off. And that's good news. And the news gets even better. This community has a good shepherd, one whose voice we know. A good shepherd who calls us by name. Did you hear that? Huh? The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's really good news. Jesus, the good shepherd, calls us by name. In the midst of all this arguing about blindness and sight with those who just don't get it, the gospel writer reminds us that we do. We get it. We are not blind. We see and we understand. Jesus knows and loves each one of us. And we know and we love him. We know the sound of his voice, like Mary of Magdala weeping in the garden on that first Easter morning. The gardener speaks just her name, and she recognizes him by the familiar sound of his voice speaking her name. Called by name, her eyes are opened and life begins again. I came, Jesus tells the Pharisees, that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is the true riddle of our faith. The good shepherd who gives us living water, who is the bread of life, who is the light of the world, is the same one who leads, who cares for, who protects, who finds, who calls. That is the one who knows his sheep. The good shepherd is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who lays down his life that we might have not just a pulse, but have an extraordinary, utterly, completely, extravagantly abundant life. Called and known by name, called by his name. Today, Christian, the news is very good. The news is very good. Let us pray. Eternal God of light and life and all things good, even when the journey is uncertain and the way is unclear, it is Jesus' voice we trust. It is Jesus that we follow. Called by his name, may we fashion our lives after his so that all of your children may receive the gift of your abundant life. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.